Welcome to Teach Outdoors, the podcast that brings you inspiration and ideas for taking your teaching outside. Together, we'll explore the benefits of learning outside the classroom, share tips and tricks for successful outdoor teaching, and hear from educators who are making a difference in the lives of their students through outdoor experiences. Join us as we dive into the world of teaching outdoors and discover new ways to engage and inspire the next generation. I'm Lauren McLean, mother of two young ones, author of Me and My Sit Spot, teacher, and outdoor classroom enthusiast. I'm grateful to be living, learning, playing, and raising my family on the traditional and unceded lands, waters, and skies of the Kwikwetlem First Peoples. Hi everyone, I'm Lauren McLean, and welcome back to another episode of Teach Outdoors. As E.O. Wilson once said, every kid has a bug period. I never grew out of mine. So today we're diving into that bug period, exploring the captivating world of insects and spiders, and recognizing their vital environmental roles. This episode is all about fostering curiosity and understanding about insects and spiders, those tiny creatures that often go unnoticed but play significant roles in our ecosystems. We'll begin by observing some of the more common species like butterflies, ladybugs, ants, and beetles in our own gardens, diving into their habitats, diets, and the predators they face. But before we dive into the specifics, let's talk about perspective. When encountering discomfort with these little creepy crawlies, it's essential to engage in perspective-taking questions. By doing so, we can foster appreciation and understanding. Have you ever wondered what makes certain bugs beautiful to some and terrifying to others? It's all about perspective. So how do we do this? By doing a personal investigation into some of our beloved insects, like butterflies and ladybugs. I'll share some of the most notable features that my students researched and observed. So I'm going to share their written work from my grade 2 students. 5 key features of butterflies. Number 1. Beautiful wings. Butterflies have large, colorful wings that come in many different patterns and designs. These wings help them fly gently from flower to flower. Number 2, antenna. Butterflies have long, thin antennae on their heads. They use antennae to sense things around them, like smelling flowers or finding food. Number 3, proboscis. I always have a hard time pronouncing that. This is like a long mouth part that looks like a straw, and butterflies use it to drink nectar from flowers. Number 4, metamorphosis. Look at me struggling today. Butterflies go through a magical process called metamorphosis. They start as tiny eggs, then become caterpillars or larvae, form a chrysalis or pupa, and finally emerge as beautiful butterflies. Number 5, migration. Some butterflies travel a very long distance during migration. They fly from one place to another to find warmer weather or for food. All right, another group of students wrote and researched 5 key features of ladybugs, so I'll read their work right now. Number 1, bright colors. Ladybugs are known for their bright red or orange bodies with black spots. These colors help warn predators that they taste bad or are poisonous. Number 2, tiny size. Ladybugs are small insects that are about 1/2 inch long. They are small, but they are good hunters. They like to eat tiny pests like aphids. Number 3, winged wonders. Like butterflies, ladybugs have wings too. They can fold their wings under the hard outer shell when they are not flying. Number 4, beneficial predators. Ladybugs are considered helpful bugs because they eat other insects that hurt plants like aphids and mites. They are like pest control experts in our gardens. Number 5, hibernation. In colder months, ladybugs hibernate in large groups to stay warm and survive the winter. They might hide in small spaces, under leaves, or even inside our homes. Okay, that's it for our students' written work. Now, for each of those identifying features, we would have a reflection piece beside it. I would ask the students to draw or write how they feel. For instance, beside the tiny size of ladybugs, does that make you feel nervous that they could easily get hurt? Or does it make you look at them with awe and consider how adorable they are? We do a similar comparison with insects that students typically do not enjoy, like beetles. Again, I'll share our collaborative research, which taught us the following. 6 features of beetles. Number 1, hard shell. Beetles have a tough outer covering called a shell or exoskeleton. This shell protects them like a suit of armor, keeping them safe from harm. Number 2, many shapes and sizes. Beetles come in all sorts of shapes and sizes and colors. Some are small and round, while others are long and narrow. With over 350,000 species, beetles are one of the most diverse groups of insects. Number 3, strong jaws. Beetles have strong jaws called mandibles that they use for chewing food. They like to munch on leaves, fruits, or even other insects. Beetles have very powerful mouths. Number 4, wings. Most beetles have wings, but not all of them can fly. Some beetles have hard outer wings that protect their delicate flying wings underneath. Number 5, complete metamorphosis. Like butterflies, beetles go through a process called metamorphosis. They start as eggs, then hatch into larvae, often called grubs, then form a pupa, and then emerge as adult beetles. Lastly, number 6, varied lifestyles. Beetles can be found almost everywhere, from forest to deserts to your backyard. They have adapted to many different habitats and lifestyles, some living in soil, others in water, and even some in dung. Now, our students loved learning what the word dung was. Now, again, we looked at this list that we researched and attached emotions and feelings to them. There are a lot of features that were similar between their beloved butterfly and the not-so-beloved beetle. So what came next? Well, we read The Bad Seed by Jory John and discussed how the seed must have felt knowing that everyone didn't like or appreciate him. We made the comparison with how the beetle must feel. Next, we created a comic strip that journeyed a beetle through its day, how other insects treated them, how they felt, and what actions they did to help others see how vital they are in the ecosystem. Now, a quick side note, I know that many teachers often ask me how my grade 2-3 students write these amazing notes and paragraphs. I attended a literacy workshop put on by my district during a Prodi event by Sarah Pedersen, and the session was called Keyword Outlines. In essence, the students read a piece of nonfiction work, they highlight the keywords, and then they simply use those keywords to write their own sentences and paragraphs. It's a great way to build up the students' confidence to write in their own words and not merely copy from the nonfiction text. If you have any questions about this literacy strategy, feel free to email me at lauren@teachoutdoors.ca and I'll be happy to give you more information and examples. Okay, back to the insects and bugs inquiry. It really does help to understand the distinction between beneficial and harmful bugs. Knowing the common ones in our area helps us to make informed decisions about pest control and conservation efforts. During our insect and bug inquiries, we usually bring out a magnifying glass, nature journal, and a few field guides with us. We take these materials, head outside, and go on insect hunts to observe their habitats and behaviors up close. The most common question I get from teachers and parents is how we handle when a student is fearful of encountering insects. We often start by looking at images of insects and bugs, introducing our students to both some common and less common insects, sparking curiosity about their unique features and adaptations. I think that by encouraging early exploration and understanding, the aim is to diminish fear and nurture an appreciation for these essential creatures in the natural world. A few years ago, I had a very nervous little student, so we gave them lots of choices for how they wanted to participate. they could use binoculars to look at the insect's habitat from afar. And I think that by focusing on the habitat of the insect was a great way to slowly step into the inquiry. It was far less scary. The other option was for them to record the details that their partner had discovered. For instance, if the partner had found an ant on a log, then that's what the student would draw. A few weeks into our outdoor explorations, the student was becoming more comfortable with seeing insects. So much so that they even grabbed a magnifying glass one day to watch a pill bug slowly crawl along a nurse log. And I'll admit that this is one of my all-time favorite moments of my teaching career. It was so incredible to watch. Now, let's dive into our main insect bug inquiry. We were focused on four key points: movement, physical characteristics, habitat exploration, and life cycle stages. For each key point, I will share our sub-inquiry questions that our students came up with. So for movement, we also wondered, what do you notice and wonder about how bugs and insects move around their environment? We were thinking about their graceful flutter of the butterfly to how beetles do a bit more of a scuttling movement. For physical characteristics, we were taking a moment to observe the colors and patterns of the bugs around us. We were noticing that each tiny detail holds some clues to their survival strategies and adaptations. For the habitat exploration, we were looking for evidence of bug and insect habitats. It could have just been a few leftover pieces of a spider web or a neatly constructed tunnel of an ant colony. There's so many encounters in our natural surroundings. For life cycle stages, we wondered, what signs can we observe that indicate the life cycle stages of bugs? They're each like different chapters in the story of an insect's life. So egg to larva, pupa, and finally adult. Okay, now some of my favorite activities that we've been doing with our students, starting with creating bug habitats. So picture this, off we go on a hands-on adventure, exploring our surroundings and gathering natural materials like leaves and twigs and stones. And with these materials in hand, it's time to now let our creativity flow as we design and construct different bug homes, from tunnels and burrows in the soil to different webs for catching prey. The possibilities were practically endless. The goal was to provide a safe haven for our tiny friends while learning about their habitat preferences through exploring our local bug field guides. And speaking of field guide adventures, that's our next activity, developing our very own insect field guide. So we started by grabbing our magnifying glasses and clipboards and going on a bug exploration journey. So as we carefully investigated small nooks and crannies, we discovered a treasure trove of insect and spider species. We turned those discoveries into artful scientific sketches, capturing every detail from color, size, and shape. Then we put all the student observations together to create our insect field guide for our school. We were all just so proud, and I think that by collaborating and then sharing out our findings, we're not only expanding our understanding, but we were also enriching the community around us. Well, that's it for today. I invite you to share your insect and bug investigations with us on Instagram by tagging at teachoutdoors.ca or on X at LKMcLean. Until next time, keep wandering, keep wondering, and keep celebrating the beauty of insects and bugs. As always, I'll end with a song, From the Trees by Brandon Grant.
Start on my paw, I look around to find a spot that I can call home for a while. Walking slowly, I feel so calm. I find a spot where nature opens up her arms for me to breathe. I see the story. stories I can learn from the trees. The feeling, the touch of gentle breeze, knowing the land around me brings me peace. Watching the world around me sets me free. I feel the sunshine kiss my skin. I hear all of the birds singing from within. I get familiar with my space. I now know how every part fits in every place for me to breathe. I see the stories I can learn from the trees. The feeling, the touch of gentle breeze, knowing the land around me brings me peace. Watching the world around me sets me. I go to visit in morning, in sunshine and the rain, to see what's different and notice the things that stay the same. I get to know my teacher, the spot that gives me health. To get to know the land is to get to know yourself. To breathe, I see the stories I can learn from the trees. The feeling, the touch of gentle breeze, knowing the land around me brings me peace. Watching the world around me sets me free.